B-Pod Studios.
Mike Busnelli Show. It's a Football Friday. Brian Westbrook will join us from 4 to 5. We have our big green giveaway at 4 o'clock. Brett Brown will join us in about a half an hour. Talk about last night's game, so plenty of stuff to come here. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie and hoagie party. Jay's every bit as good. Last night was a monster night for television. Leading up to the Sixers game. And of course, the Flyers won with a big win. I was tuning in. I'm watching the Flyers. They're down 2-1. And then I flipped. There were two college basketball games on of interest last night. Temple University versus Houston, which I had proclaimed as my pick of the night, thinking Houston was going to go double digits.
Bad beat.
Temple covers.
Yeah, lose by seven.
They lost, and it was a back door kind of like. They looked like they were going to lose by double digits. They wound up, so it was a seven-point game. But Houston won the game last night. And Penn State, I told you last night, but this Penn State line looks a little short against Purdue. And you go, how can you rely on that squad?
You can.
And you were right. But the Nittany's take them to overtime.
No, they play well. Now, I looked at the recap after you mentioned it, because I didn't watch any of that one. It looks like the report says they play well, but...
Well, I tuned out, because then I was watching Deion Sanders 30 for 30.
And I got that on my DVR.
Which was unbelievably good.
It was really good as expected.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And that was an hour, and that led me into like a half hour to kill before. Then I went to Burgundy for a little bit, then Flyers, you know. So I was all over the place last night. But I'm watching this kid from Purdue who would look really good in a Sixer uniform next year.
Yeah?
The kid's name's Carson Edwards.
Yes.
6'1" point guard, but can fire like Curry.
So that means...
I love that kid.
So he'll be around in the 20s.
I think he will because he's 6'1".
Right.
38 last night. For my man.
38. And did you see his release? Is it quick?
Oh, it's quick.
You can get that thing
this
off?
Kid, and he's strong, too. It's 6'1", strong kid. He went 8 for 15 from 3 last night. 38, 6 for 6 from the line. Kick and shoot it.
Yeah, because TJ's going to be somewhere making $8 million elsewhere next year. You'll need somebody to come off the
bench. Keep that kid's name in mind, Carson Edwards. All right, let's go to the phones and go Rich and Shenandoah. Rich, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rich.
Mikey, how are you?
What's up, Rich?
Hey, Miserable.
What's going on? Is you Miserable today?
Is this a sports show, or do I have to guess the album of James Taylor and Carly Simon?
I think you bring no content, I think I'd rather go with you with the music thing.
I bring content all the time.
Yeah, you got no content. So I want to hear you talk about James Taylor, frankly.
No, I don't. I want to talk about the Flyers.
Oh, you do? The Flyers?
There was another team last night.
They won their sixth straight last night, Rich.
About it.
But they're still in last place.
Credit. He finally coached half decent last night.
Well, there you go. Listen, I'm glad that made your night.
Did you see G backcheck on that play? It was unbelievable.
Did you watch the Sixers game last night?
Yeah, I did. I stayed up and
you did?
It.
All right. So you had a double win last night. Good night for Philly sports. The difference is one game meant more than the other.
Yeah. How's Sleeping Beauty doing?
Sleeping Beauty's doing good.
Yeah, she looks good.
Yeah,
she's. Call in and listen to me, but they just.
Rich, what's going on in Shenandoah on Friday night? Where are you going to go? Are you going to go to the lodge? What are you doing? On Friday night?
I'm going to Eagle Rock, where you were supposed to come up.
Oh, you going to Eagle Rock? You hang out at the bar. Have a couple pickled eggs.
Listen.
Wait, what are you doing?
I want to talk here and how you ruined my Flyers game last night.
I ruined the Flyers game?
Yeah, because when it was in overtime 2-2, I'm looking at the TV like all these pucks are dropping down on the ice.
Oh, you saw the puck drop last night? Did they start that last night?
No, I didn't, but that was the stupidest show I ever heard in my life. They were making up stuff. But I couldn't watch it because you were doing that.
Well, there you go. So you were entertained, Rich.
Oh, no, Michael. I wasn't entertained at all.
Rich. I'm sorry, man. What is it tonight? Is it the VFW?
No, it's not.
Wait, what is it?
I don't know. Where are you going?
The Legion Hall? Where are you going?
Are you going for $70?
You going to the Moose Club?
Oh, no. I'm going to go for a beer. Are you going for $70? Where are you going?
Come on, Rich. Oh, Rich, I'm going to just hang close to home tonight.
Come on, I got work tomorrow.
Are you work tomorrow? What do you do? What do you do for a living, Rich?
That's none of your business.
Why? Well, just the question. I'm trying to be friendly here. Just say we're sitting down at the Elks Club, and we're just having friendly conversation.
Mike, I'm disabled.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I work at Eagle Rock, where I'm going to get you to come up and go.
Oh, good. I'd like to do that, Rich. I'm just having fun with you. You know that, right? I love you.
Did you ever check it out yet?
I have not checked out Eagle Rock.
Okay, it's a month now, so
what? You want to play golf when it's 30 degrees?
No, I'm saying you should check it out for June.
Oh, for June. Oh, you mean to reserve something at Eagle Rock.
Exactly.
Oh, I'll check into that.
I'm going to send you something. I'll send you a flyer in the mail.
All right, buddy.
All right.
All right, man. There he is. Rich from Shenandoah. He's one of a kind.
So he doesn't like James Taylor? That's what he's. Right. That's what he was getting at?
No, he didn't like the subject matter.
Well, we were having fun.
Some people don't like the fun part of a show. I don't know. Rich. Rich is your classic character. You can imagine Rich of Shenandoah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's got another log on the fire. You know?
Yeah. I can imagine him now.
Yeah, he's got paneling.
Yeah, sitting there at Eagle Rock.
Paneling's on the wall.
I'm trying to think.
Maybe a deer head.
What do you think his favorite beer is?
Hold on. It's probably local beer. It's a local beer. It's probably Yuengling.
There it is. That's probably what it is.
All right. Let's go Charlie and Ventnor. Charlie on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Charlie?
What a game, buddy.
Oh,
what a game.
Tremendous.
I'll tell you, I've been on with you before, and I've been somewhat critical of Simmons, but I got to tell you, this is what we need for him on a night-to-night basis. You know, the triple-doubles and the double-doubles are all great, the 10 and 12 and 14 and 14 and 10 and 12.
Uh-huh.
But we need him to score the basketball.
Yeah.
And once we weathered that first quarter debacle with 7 turnovers in the first 6 minutes, they buckled down, survived the first half, and then played defense in the second half, and the big guy woke up.
Yeah.
And it was just a great thing to see, and what a pleasure it was to see J.J. Redick hit that.
Well, that was a monster shot that he made. Yeah. You know what I find amazing about him is the way he drifts to the right and can still square it up. I've never seen a shooter like drift like that. Like he normally they got to be stationary, stand still, great form. He drifts to the right. He's better at moving to the right, making shots, and that's usually tougher for a right-handed shooter.
Unbelievable. But again, Simmons needs to have that I want the ball mentality like he had last night. That's what we need from him.
Yeah.
And I've been critical. All my friends know I've been hammering him all year. And I gave him a nickname of Casper the Friendly Ghost because he had a habit of disappearing in some games. I take that back. I hope this is what we see for the future. And this is what we need if they want to go far in the East and further. So
yeah, I got you. It showed me a little something last night, I'm telling you.
Yeah, this is what we need from him. The double-doubles are great. We need him to score the basketball.
I got you, but last night he dominated the game without being able to shoot it.
Right. He dominated the game because he wanted the ball. That's the big change I saw.
He wants the ball all the time, really. You know, that's what he does. He races up. They used him in a lot of post situations last night, too. It's another thing when I asked Brett, like, what's the plan of attack to get him going?
You know, that guy missed that game. I get all the points. I get it. He defended like a madman last night.
Yeah.
Some of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
And he says, because he wanted the ball. No, he was elite because of his defense.
Yeah.
Last night, covering these guys. Like we got to watch both ends. It's not just about what you do on offense. That guy can cover 1 through 5. That's why he was so special. It was
a tremendous game last night. I'm talking to that guy from Shenandoah, and I'm starting to think now of all the like Bristol, where I grew up, had all those little clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they had the Moose, and they had the Elks, but they also had the Black Elks Club.
What was it?
It was Black Elks Club. Black folks club.
But
white dudes could get in.
Okay.
But we could go in there every now and then.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine calls me one night, and he goes, this was recently. He said, hey, I'm at the Black Elks Club, and Justin Tuck's in here.
What? What? Justin Tuck.
Yeah, Justin Tuck from the Giants is in here. Well, I go, really? You go, give me some, like, find out why. So he goes, all right, I'll call you back.
He goes and ask him why.
He gave me a Justin Tuck married a girl from my hometown.
Oh, look at that. How about that?
And they were like, see, visiting their parents or something. They went to the Black Elks Club.
Yeah, there's an Elks Club in Bordentown where I live. There's no black members. So that must be the white.
What?
Well, that's the White Elks Club.
That must be the White Elks Club. So I have to find where the Black Elks Club is in Bordentown. Uh-huh.
I don't really know. What is the purpose of an Elks Club?
It's just a social club, like the Moose Squad. You take an oath. It's like Fred Flintstone and the Grand Poobah.
Water Buffalo. Buffalo.
Yeah, they're those clubs. They're Moose.
Do they wear
the Elks?
Do they wear the hats
VFWs and the I don't know what I don't know. I've never been a member. I've gone in there. Bristol had the Sons of Italy Club. Social clubs would be at with they'd be open like after closing time. So
I know
that's
all,
where they were all popular.
Bars inside almost all of them. They got a nice little bar.
Oh no, I know like the VFWs and like the Irish clubs.
It's the same kind of deal,
right?
Yeah.
Okay,
but in Bristol, everybody was welcome to come in,
right? So the Elks, that was
didn't matter.
Yeah, no, I've been to that Elks. I just don't think there's any black members. I've been to the Elks.
You are, yeah,
but yeah, the members, not,
yeah,
from from back in the day. I think it's segregated.
I want to go.
Oh, it is?
I think.
The Elks Club? See, I don't recall that there were any segregated clubs. That was the thing about my town. It was so integrated that way that there was no, like, you know, like, I didn't learn that kind of segregation. Like, it was always integrated.
Yeah, and I meant by the members, by the way, because I've been in there. It's not like they said, you got to go use a different toilet. It was just there's no black members. They have the members all on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the Italian Mutual Aid Fifth Ward Club.
Ooh.
What is that?
That sounds super exclusive.
Well, that was kind of for the poor Italians. They had their own little club, and they have like Sunday dinner, and they had the ladies cooking Italian food. And you go in there, you had to be a member. They had a pool connected to it. It was like a pool.
That sounds nice.
I always got the short end because my father thought it was too much to join.
Right.
So it was like once every 5 years we got a membership.
Okay.
Okay.
Otherwise, you had to try to sneak in, the entrance. There's always an older lady. Are you a member? Yes. What's your name? Sorry, you're not a member.
It's
embarrassing.
Oh.
Let's go to Mitch in California. Mitch, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mitch.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Mitch?
No, nothing too much. I was at the game last night here in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Cool.
A lot of Sixers fans there, actually.
Yeah, I saw a few. Like, they had those front row tickets. A lot of Sixer fans.
Yeah, there was a few there. I mean, they were kind of scattered around.
And that place was popping last night, boy. I'll tell you, that must be a scene at Oracle.
It is. It's a great place to see a game, just generally speaking. Mm-hmm. It's really good, and it was a great game to see. I think the thing I was most impressed with was actually their bench. I mean, first of all, Bolden really played well. Muscala made a couple of shots.
Bolden really impressed me, and it was really, it's hard for me.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to give it up for Jonah Bolden, but last night I had to give it up.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was great.
Yeah, he was.
Indeed, like everyone's saying, they were all just monsters defensively. Mm-hmm. Like, even when Embiid wasn't scoring, he was still pulling down the boards and getting in people's way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Cousins was really primed to have a big game last night because it was his first home game since he'd been back.
Yeah.
And Embiid just took him out.
He did. Cousins is, he's got a long way to go physically, I think.
Yeah, but he'd been playing really well, it was pretty.
Yeah, he'd been playing well on a minutes restriction basis, and last night he was overmatched in that minutes restriction basis. Well, it was just a Ben Simmons game. I marvel at the guy. Always marvel at the guy's ability, and last night it was he carried that team.
Yeah, it was really something to see, and especially offensively, I thought. I know you don't like him so much all the time, but when McConnell was in there, they got him the ball in the post, and he just there was no one that could.
Yeah, he made a couple plays in there, TJ. The Teej.
Yeah,
the Teejer. what did he play last night, Ty? How many minutes did Teej play last night?
He actually played a decent amount last night. Yeah,
that's you okay with it?
No. No, and people think it's because of hate. No. I'm going to tell you the basketball reason. With him and Ben, it's been exposed over enough time, the spacing is just not there because neither one of them shoot. It's not, you can't keep that up. And that's my goal after this trade deadline and this buyout period. You have to separate their minutes completely. They can't play together. You got away with it a little bit last night. Them playing together kills spacing.
The Teague only played 16 minutes last night.
Yeah, yeah. So because Butler was playing some one now, but
one assist.
Yeah, and he didn't have
and all zeros the rest of the way.
He scored
2 for 3.
Yeah, yeah. He scored.
He had a little foul line that over the head, that over the head jump shot.
One of them was an important moment though. But I just don't want them playing together with spacing with two guys who don't shoot at all. You that's not going to work against Toronto and Boston. You just can't do it. They can't play.
Well, what I saw last night, and I wonder if people agree, it was, were you convinced that last night's game convinced you that they are now a viable opponent in, say, an Eastern Conference final? Whereas before, I didn't think they were. But I learned something about them last night. Chris and Yardley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Yeah. Couple points for you, but one quick point. I think Bellinelli drifts like JD does.
Yeah, he does. Not to that extent, though, but he does shoot it well to his right also.
Yeah. But last night, what do you think about the fact that maybe Jimmy was a little hesitant because he saw the fire in the belly in Ben and just said, I just got to let this guy do his thing and kind of just hang back
maybe,
and let that
maybe
happen?
I don't know. You saw he was pretty disengaged. I kept waiting for him to ISO a play for him to get him started, and he really didn't do anything like that last night.
Yeah, but to me, the biggest thing was the defense at the end. I think every guy on the team, even the bench players, everybody made a huge defensive play at some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you hold that team to 104, you're playing good D.
Yep, that to me was the difference. Thanks, Mike.
All right, man. That was a good win. For the people that didn't stay up, it's a shame that it went too late for a lot of people. People nod off by then, but I was amped. I started eating peppers.
What kind of peppers?
Peppers.
What? Well,
shishito.
It's like, you know, when you're watching the game, like you're engaged, you got to have some like kind of snack. And I'm thinking, you know, it's late at night. I can't be going heavy snack. And I didn't have any snack, so all I had was kind of like vegetables. So I started cutting up some green peppers and carrots and.
Well, that's a healthy snack.
It was a healthy snack.
Anti-inflammatory.
I was just doing it to munch because of nervousness. Like, you know, I'm engaged in the game, in the process of the game.
Tom Brady would be proud.
Yeah. I mean, and with no dressing or anything, just straight pepper.
He would be even more proud.
Yes, he would. Also, you got me thinking about the end of the game. I'm like kind of pacing around. Zumoff, his call last night late was reminding me of the AI era. The excitement that he had. Because, you know, he had to deal with the process, and last year he was excited. This game for him last night, and he had to be tired because he's on East Coast time like all of us. He was electric in those last couple minutes, like during that AI time. So props to Zumoff last night.
Yes, and I've got some stats that were sent to me by the great Patrick Reese, the PR guy for the Sixers. Jimmy Butler, they're 21-9 in 30 games he's appeared in, which is amazing to me. Now, Joel and Ben are the first 76er All-Star teammates since when, Tyrone? And who were they?
Was it Barkley and Hersey Hawkins?
It was not. It was more recent. 2002.
Oh, AI and and Mutombo.
Yes.
No. Yeah,
yes.
AI and Mutombo.
Mutombo.
Yeah.
And AI. Okay. Joel's January.
He balled all month.
29.2 points per game, 13.8 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 2.0 blocks. Ben's January, 18.9 points per game, 9.9 rebounds, 8.7 assists, 1.2 steals, 56.4% from the floor.
His best month of his career so far.
Unbelievable.
Best month of his career.
Let's go... Hank in South Philly. Hank, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hank.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Hank?
Nothing, man. You know what I really wanted to say? Like, last night's game was a great game, right? But I didn't want to get too overly excited because so many times we rush out to a lead. But last night they had to play from behind. And without them turnovers, they would have been up like by 10, you know? And what I do like is the fact that you recognize that Ben Simmons is special. A lot of people want to just give up on him. I don't want to. At first, I had my brothers. You know, I'd rather have somebody else that could shoot. But when I see the way Ben played last night, it just amazed me. You know, and I'm starting to realize that this kid was meant to play basketball here in Philadelphia.
You have to understand about Ben Simmons, there's no one else like that. You have a unique player that no one else has. And that's what we don't focus on enough. You're talking about a 6'10 guy with a monster handle who's like the fastest guy on the floor who can get to the basket almost anytime he wants. Now, I understand that there are times that he can make the defense a little more wary by pulling up, making a 12, 15 foot or whatever. But what he does is so unlike anything else that you see in the league that you just got to sit back and love it.
Absolutely. And you know what? You get it. You know, a lot of times I listen to you, Mike, and I may not agree with some things you say, but I know that a lot of times you know what you're talking about, so I can respect that. You know, but what kills me when people that don't really know anything about the game, they just speculate.
Well, they're looking at it with one eye. That's why. You got to open both your eyes to look at a player.
And see, you know the nuances of the game, and so do I. So when I look at the games, I look at them from a different perspective than most people.
Yeah.
You know, and listening to you, and I just started listening to you recently because I always like the way you, you know, commentate about things, you know. And I get a kick out of you and Tyrone and them guys. And
well, I appreciate that, Hank. Thank you, buddy.
So y'all have a good day.
All right, man. There he is. Hank from South Philly checking in. Here's the breathtaking part about Ben Simmons. The kick out. The rebound, kick out, he's got the ball, and here it comes. You know, and he's just flying at you. Totally in control and makes up, like, gulps of yardage with a couple of strides. And the defense goes, they're on their heels. You can't be prepared for that kind of ability.
Yep.
610-632-0975. Brett Brown, after the break, talking about last night's game and the Sixers' potential from this point on. They are 5-2, 7 games into that 12-game stretch. We're back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 3:30. Let's get a Twitter poll update. Miss Natalie, it's of course brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. What is today's Twitter poll?
Today's Twitter poll is dedicated to the Ben Simmons haters. Over 2,200 votes. What should we do with the trade Ben Simmons people? 46% say laugh at them. 41% say banish them. And 13% would like to forgive them.
Okay. Sounds good. In a couple seconds, we're getting Brett Brown all hooked up now.
Here he is.
Live from, I believe they're in Sacramento, but the Sixers last night with a monster win over the Golden State Warriors, 113-104. And I tell you, I learned a little something about him, and I know the coach had to learn something about him, and he's on the line right now. Brett Brown, the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Brett, how you doing today? Great win last night.
Yeah, it was, Mike. No, it was a good win, and, we're now here in Sacramento getting ready for the Kings tomorrow night.
And I know you can't lose sight of that game, but, you know, a lot of people are making, they're looking at this game, and frankly, I thought it was maybe your best win as a head coach in a regular season game, you know, the Miami series with a couple of great wins. But how did you feel about the way your team performed down the stretch last night?
I mean, the excitement of Ben being named to the All-Star team prior to the game, the fact that I think that our locker room is coming together and the players are just genuinely coexisting well, playing some players in some different spots, hoping to get ready for the playoffs and then to play against who is the best team in the NBA and get a win out of that. All in all, I think it was a good night.
Well, it was a great night. Of course, Joel Embiid was great. You got contributions off the bench. But the game belonged to number 25 last night. And I don't know about you and how you look at this, but if you're watching that game, you saw a guy dominate the game last night.
I agree, and I went on record. I felt like it was Ben's best game, if not, you know, top two or three. I think the I don't know what the wording is, but I feel like maybe the weight of hoping to be an all-star, some of the expectations maybe in the marketplace. I think that once he was named to the team, he just seemed to play free, and athletically he is so gifted. And just impose sort of an athletic feel and a skill package feel as a 6'10 point guard all over the game. And I feel like last night we might have seen Ben's best game.
You're coaching this game, and you know how explosive they are. And Curry was unstoppable last night. You know, Clay not on the floor, obviously, but they're still so potent. The third quarter starts to get away from you a little bit, and then boom, you guys make some really clutch shots, couple clutch three pointers from some bench guys. At that point, how are you coaching this game?
I mean, you walk that line of making sure that we are proactive, that we're not playing conservative. And recognizing that at any point, you know, they can go bananas and just start making a lot of threes and the game changes quickly. And so somewhere in the middle, you know, you try to coach the team and just try to make sure that you got the matchups probably more than anything on the court. Do you feel like there not might be a sort of an immediate explosion with some of their players?
Well, I was curious to know what your plan of attack was going to be on Curry last night. And you tried a lot of different people. I guess when he's going off like that, there's really not much you can do. But what was your plan defensively for him?
Well, it tied into the plan for the team because, I mean, his plan is very similar to the rest of the team. When you really studied them and you looked at just different holes that they might have or things that you might be able to exploit or better sell to your players, one of the stats that came out was when they shoot 32 threes, not make, when they shoot 32 threes or more, they're 25-4. And when they shoot 31 and less, they're 11-10. And we dumped a lot of our energy just on trying to restrict the number of attempts. Now, that final stat got away from us, but the notion of just being so mindful of the three-point line dominated the game plan, and it especially dominated the game plan with Steph.
Talking to Brett Brown, coach of the Sixers, big win last night, 113-104. You're 5-2 in this 12-game stretch, which is pretty good. I think it's ahead of the pace that a lot of people thought. And I think a lot of people saw last night, even in just one game, the growth of this team, that this team now can go into a 7-game series against the best in the East or the couple teams that are ahead of you and give a fighting chance. Because before last night's game, I don't know if people were 100% convinced of that. Do you feel that now?
I still think that we're going to be aggressive in by trade deadline. Elton is being very proactive on looking how do you sort of bolster the bench. You know, everybody's kind of been on record wondering what's going to happen at the backup five. There's going to be some wing considerations that we think through with Corey Brewer. Type 10-day contracts coming to an end. I feel like last night on a one-game snapshot, everybody walks away excited. But what you and I both know is to beat somebody four times in a 7-game series is a different task. And so I like what I'm seeing. I feel like we're headed in the right direction. But if I'm honest, I feel like we might need a little bit more to do ultimately what we all want to happen.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people will also feel that, and it's just a matter of like how you're going to be able to pull this off. Are we looking at the trade route, or are we looking at maybe buyouts where you can sign a player? Like, what is most likely to happen here?
It's difficult to say one thing could happen more than the other thing. I think that it's just so much a fluid thing, and it's all on the table, and we've seen. You know, what happened with the Knicks in Dallas is significant in the ripple effects of what that might mean and could, you know, in some ways maybe relate to us. And I'm not suggesting that it will. I'm more suggesting that so much is fluid. The league is moving. It's going to heat up over the next 3 to 5 days. And I feel like whether it's a buyout, whether it's a trade, whatever, what everybody should hear is Elton's been great. He's been just very aggressive trying to figure out how do we make our team better so that we can make a deep run into the playoffs.
Brett, are there untouchable, obviously, the obvious untouchables, but I guess I get more specific. Would Markel Fultz be in play for a trade, or are you guys committed to keeping him there?
You know, I'm leaving this all with Elton. I think that you know, you're trying to do whatever you can to make the team better. It's a boring answer, but it's the best I can give.
Okay. Couple of things about last night's game, and then I'll let you off the hook here. Last night, I'm curious to know, well, Jimmy Butler being kind of non-engaged in first half, sort of. I don't know if you thought that as well, but it seemed like he was deferring an awful lot. What was going on with him last night?
I think he flipped the switch and, like, locked in defensively. You know, he came out, made some tremendous passes. I do understand, you know, when you look at sort of a stat sheet in the first half, it wasn't like he was forcefully trying to impose himself on the game. I think none of that should surprise us. I feel like this is what we're learning. This is what we're seeing. I do think when the game matters and when the game starts to heat up, this is where historically he's been at his best. And his mindset, I think, just goes to another level. I also think, like, as I start to move him to some point guard type minutes, as he starts to understand, you know, just different areas I'm trying to use him. He's trying to fit in with a pretty good team and, you know, coexist with a decent starting five. All of this is starting to take shape. But I think last night it is true. Like, I just feel like he was focused more on other areas than shooting.
Did you speak to him at all about his first half?
Oh, yeah. No, we talk all the time. I enjoy talking with him. It's never a boring conversation. And, you know, and it's good. I say that respectfully. I enjoy the collaborative discussions that we have. And, you know, it's not really different than you and I talking about. He'll come back and I believe him. You know, he's really focused on getting other people shots and playing defense. I mean, even the first play of the game, as an example, the play really was designed for him. And then a counter, if he's not able to find a driving lane, was, you know, let's go get JJ a shot. When we sort of set a pin down with Joel and JJ coming off Joe. And maybe he could have turned a corner. He chose not to. He just back dribbled out of it, found JJ. JJ makes a shot and off we go. And I just think it's a snapshot of his personality. He plays the game the right way. I think that as time unfolds and when the season gets more serious, I think we're going to see, you know, probably a different Jimmy Butler.
Last question for you is, and I'm trying to get into the mind of a coach here, but your substitution pattern early in game, you seem to be locked into a certain substitution pattern where you'll sub three guys early. What numbers are you telling you? Like, and sometimes you have to do it when you're down, which I think puts a lot of fans at angst. What is your mindset when it comes to substituting early with the three-man substitution?
The fact that those good players can come back in against second row guys. And I always smile when we talk about substitution patterns. There is so much, you know, discussion, it seems, I'm told by my media manager, Patrick, that this often is a hot topic. The studies that go into this stuff, the way that we pair the group, I mean, it's just stuff that we dig into deeply. And to your point, when you say, why would you, like, take those guys out and then bring them back in, it's because ultimately it plays out the way that we hope to with who starts games and end games and who's playing in crunch time. And, you know, with the studies we have, with the gut feel I have as a coach, those decisions are made, and I'm comfortable with how we're flipping this thing around.
So these are primarily analytic analysis as far as these...
No. There's a little bit of that for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have so much information available to us on people that play well with each other. We understand other team substitution patterns, which probably doesn't get discussed very much. You know, when you look at and you study NBA coaches, every one of us are in a routine and a rhythm. Things just don't change on the night. In the playoffs, when we start digging into specific matchups, And as an example, you compare, say, Joel's minutes to DeMarcus's minutes. Things change a little bit there. But I think the routine that we have our guys on, and we're also changing some stuff. You know, I'm giving Jimmy the ball more as a point guard. I'm bringing Wilson more from a four to a three. We're playing Ben more at times at a four. You know, all those things we're trying to learn about so that we're well-equipped and not surprised when it matters most in April and May, and we hope June. And so when you say, like, how do you sell the game, there's a lot of pieces. Studying opposition, coaches gut feel, sometimes people get in foul trouble or injured, finding a routine for your guys where they're not just caught off guard. People like a routine. They like to know their role in a team. And all those things factor into how you sub a team.
All right, and last night at the end of the game, looked like you had some congenial conversation with both Steve Kerr and Mike Brown last night. What were they telling you?
I mean, the history, I'm not young anymore, and I've been, I think, 19 years in the league, and so you know, you bump into friends and people you've coached. I coached Steve in the early 2000s and worked with Mike in the same sort of time frame, and they're just friends of mine. They're coaching friends of mine, and we've shared a lot of experiences and more just quick reminiscing, checking in on them and their families. And, you know, you wake up a new day and you're in a new city, and that's sort of coaching and life in the NBA.
Did Kerr say to you, gee, you kicked our ass? Did he say that?
In his own way, he congratulated us and did say, you know, you guys played well. And, I mean, he's all class, and he's got a job that we all sort of recognize in nowadays NBA coaching. You're as much managing people and personalities as you are determining strategy. And, you know, I speak often, you know, about that type of stuff with him, and just got a lot of respect for him. He's quality people and a hell of a coach.
Brett Brown, always a pleasure, Brett, and you know, knock the Sacramento one out and come back and let's see what we can do with this 12-game span here.
Yeah, no, look forward to it, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he is. Brett Brown, he's from Sacramento after last night's game. So everybody's in play except for the star players. And I think the Markel Fultz thing, he's in play. That's what I got out of that. Did I read too much into that?
No, he's in play.
He's in play.
That's why you say I'm leaving it up to Elton.
Yeah, because otherwise he would have said, now we're going to keep one.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls after this. Mike Misnelli Show. Right. I'm sorry. What was that, Ty?
Well, I have Steven Singer.
Oh, okay. All right. And 4K, 5K a day coming up at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, it's 3:50. We got a special guest in the studio. The great I Hate Steven Singer guy. Steven Singer joining us. Steven, how you feeling today?
I am terrific. I was at Cornhole this morning at 6 a.m.
Super Bowl weekend. You were there, and you designed the winning ring.
We had a Super Bowl replica ring. We had to make two of them, of course, because of the championship team. And we were there with Farzetta and Trey and the guys. And it was a lot of fun for the first one, you know?
Awesome.
They got it together. It was fun. And, you know, right now the Eagles are still Super Bowl champs for another couple days.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to wallow in that.
All right.
You know, last year, right around now, I was sitting here and we had the Lombardi Trophy in the store.
Yes, you did at the Lombardi Trophy. I remember that was a major coup for you.
Well, not only was it a major coup, but I don't know if you remember, it's a long story, but we had gotten it, and a friend of mine that takes care of the trophy said, I can bring it in the store. You can have it for an hour or so for some VIPs to come in the store. So I said, great. I did your show, and we announced it. Within 15 minutes, we had like 2,000 people in line. They were in line from 8th and Walnut to 9th and Market.
We were That's amazing. Giant thing.
And they brought like 150 police in. Uh-huh. It was just crazy. And they were there till like 7 o'clock
That's
at night.
That's what the city's all about.
Well, it may have been the city. And it may have been that everybody was crazy. Mm-hmm. No question about it, including me. Uh-huh. And we had every policeman, every fireman in the city was there. Because we let them go in the back door and get a picture with the trophy. But it was a 2-minute shot on you that did it. That as soon as it went on you, it went viral and everybody went crazy.
Well,
it was
great
from
to
Mike
hear.
Missinelli.
The people are responding.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about your special Valentine's Day rose, which we've now been behind for several years. The 24-carat gold dip rose.
Well, I have one. I have
us.
It for you.
Yes, you
have
you gave one
for you.
Nat already.
Natalie, I saw Natalie this morning, the beautiful Natalie Eganoff.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I know her since she's like a little kid. I
really?
Know her for a long, long
we
time.
We go way back.
Yeah, okay. She's a family friend.
Uh-huh.
And she's always been gorgeous, but she gets better and better. Uh-huh. And you guys play so great off of each other, and here she's just blossoming, much like my 24-carat gold roses.
There you go. Right? That was well said. Now, she's got, it looks like, is that an emerald color?
That is a blue
there?
Color.
Oh,
that
oh
is
I love
fire
it.
Fire blue.
Yeah.
Fire
blue.
And I have one for you.
All right,
you.
Then you have one for me.
But
right,
so I also, before we talk about package. The roses,
uh-huh.
I want to talk about that, but I have another gift for you.
Oh, yeah.
That just is just for you.
Just for me.
I couldn't wait to give this to you.
All right.
So you can open that up.
Well, this smells really good. It smells like
yes.
It smells
well, we have
like
we have a thing called the rose scent package. It's an aroma. And for $4, it smells like real roses.
All right. Now, this, for some reason.
We got to tweet this out.
I was down at your store, and for some reason, you were dressed like this. I'd zero in on this.
Oh, thing. I saw that photo.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I didn't even mm-hmm. ask you at the time. Like why you were dressed like this? So now
you just
can,
like well,
you can tell
your
the
sister
folks,
station, WMMR, the Preston and Steve show, which is upstairs or down the hall here,
right.
And they do a thing called the Christmas Miracle, and they have a calendar. You know, the office, totally office calendar, and they have 12 gorgeous.
I mean, here's the thing that got me: the hairy chest kind of messed
oh my
up the
God,
whole look.
It was, and they didn't really prepare. We took two off of the buffet table. They took two muffins, wrapped them in paper towels, and that was my boobs.
Yeah.
And it was just an absolute mess. But one of the people that worked for me convinced me I wanted to go home and change after it. You know, I was embarrassed. They said, listen, you got to go to the store. It's going to be funny. Everybody's going to get a big kick. Now, I walk in the store. I didn't know you're there at the counter.
I'm at the counter.
So
yes.
I walk up to Mikey Miss, and I put my hands through his hair, and I go up, and I rub him, and he gives me a look like just saw
I'd
death.
Be honest, I was speechless.
Yes.
And not very often am I speechless, but
well,
I was speechless.
It was it's a scary thing. Listen, when I saw myself for the first time, I was scared. You know, I'm an ugly looking guy, let alone a girl. Forget about it. It's not good.
All right, so quickly, what kind of colors do we have for the roses and how can they get them?
Well, first of all, they can always come to the other corner of 8th and Walnut. We're open every day from now to Christmas. Now till Valentine's Day, excuse me, I'm delirious. And we have free shipping. And so if you order now, you get free shipping. Get a free gift note. Just go to IHateStevenSinger.com and you can get a beautiful real rose.
It's a real rose.
Dipped in 24
smells
karat
just like
gold.
A rose. Unbelievable.
And we have them in all different colors. That's called the sapphire.
This is the blue.
That's the royal sapphire blue.
Okay.
That's a very hard color to make and we run out of it every year. I don't know if it's because it's Meghan and Kate's like color, you know, from the royal weddings and all that type of stuff. But, blue symbolizes the ultimate, the unobtainable, and I think a lot of guys get it just for that reason, and we run out every year, so we just restock those, but we have quite a few colors. Obviously, Valentine's Day red, we always have.
So you're saying real love is unattainable?
That,
basically,
well,
what we're talking
the
about
woman's
here?
Unobtainable, much like Natalie.
Okay.
The ultimate, the unobtainable.
Right.
So that symbolizes that, and that's a very, very popular color. We have Valentine's Day red. We've sold out, thanks to you, 3 or 4 colors already are gone. Before we even hit February 1st,
how about
we're
that?
Going.
All right. Well, so you can still inquire. Go to the other corner of 8th and Walnut or IHStevenSinger.com for the beautiful 24-carat gold dip rose. Steven, thanks for coming in, brother.
I
Good
can't
seeing you.
Thank you enough. It's always great to see you. And thanks to all the listeners of the Mikey Miss Show. And we're going to tweet out a picture of that.
I will cherish this picture forever.
Right. I wrote on it. You want to read what I wrote on it?
I love Mike Miss with a little heart.
And I wrote it in the I Hate Steven Singer font.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, there it is. Look at
Even
that.
Even better.
The font.
Right.
Look at that beautiful woman.
A wonderful
love
keepsake.
Right, okay, we're back after this, right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.